Hello, folks. How y'all doing today? This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 8 December 2021. This is Financial Survival. As usual, I'm sitting in for Melody Cedarstrom today, although she'll be joining us at the second segment today, and I'm glad to have her back with us for a little while. I do miss her being with us. And as always, we're going to start out today with Wendy Williams, and we're going to discuss some things that I think you'll find very important. Before I do that, though, of course, I will go to the metals and the markets. Gold had a little better day today. It's actually up a few bucks, almost $7, to $17.98.05. Silver is still struggling, folks, down by 4 cents, $22.56. Now's the time to get in silver right away. Platinum, up a little, $6.75 to $972.90. Palladium, up $17.75 to $1,930. And the European markets were basically down a little, although the Asian markets did quite well. The Nikkei was up 405 points to 28,860, so the markets are kind of mixed. Petroleum hit back up again from, it was the last few days ago, $65 a barrel. Now it's up to $72.52 a barrel, so it's up. No surprise there, obviously, it's just the way it is. And the Dow was actually up a little bit, about 40 points so, to 35,759. S&P's up 12 to 46,99. NASDAQ up 31 to 16,337. So, on the positive side, slightly. Markets are just kind of, I don't know, folks, it seems like you're just kind of, mundane here of the last quite a while. Nothing seems to shake them up too either way, good or bad news. Makes no difference. They stay pretty much the same, it seems like, with a little glitch once in a while. So, be wise now where you can, and invest in some precious metals. Especially right now, silver is an excellent price to get it. Get it as fast as you can, as much as you can. And I mean that. Now, let's go to Wendy Wilson with Pocket Theory Herbs. This lady is a walking encyclopedia of all matter of health issues. Today, she's going to discuss asthma. We were talking before the break here about how the people that develop the vaccines know they can cause anybody to be allergic to anything, have allergies for anything, by the proteins they put in the vaccines. Now, folks, if the scientists know this, then they're doing it on purpose, obviously. But anyway, Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Butch, good to be with you.
Good to have you, sweetheart. I know you got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to turn you loose. You go for it.
Okay, well, this is a report from the medical news today. It was talking about asthma, asthma has been around for thousands of years. But they're saying it has recently changed in our modern world, and I thought that was an interesting statement. So, in what way has asthma changed? That was my original question. So, ancient writings from Hippocrates did describe the condition, as well as ancient healers in China 2,600 years ago. So, asthma affects about 26 million people in the United States, and out of that, 6 million are children. So it's kind of astonishing statistic also that the World Health Organization stated that asthma has increased 60% since the 1980s. So wow. What's going on here? That's a big jump. What could be causing this disease to be more of an epidemic level at this point? And for those of those listeners out there who don't know what asthma is, it's the person has asthma, they have trouble breathing, they may wheeze or cough and have shortness of breath. They have these breathing attacks that could either be mild or severe. Their lungs can become blocked or clogged with some mucus, and the blockage is, if it's not removed, they can suffocate. So modern medicine tends to treat this with anti-inflammatory inhalers with steroids in it, and so the inflammation triggers, we're going to talk about those in a little bit, that help, you know, bring on an attack. We can avoid some of those, and we're going to talk about that. But most medications that asthmatics are using are anti-inflammatory agents, but they really only manage the symptoms and not do anything about the cause of asthma. So this was the medical news today. And they said that today asthma is different than the ancient form of asthma. So what could that possibly mean? I mean, has the diagnosis of asthma changed? How has this disease changed? Here's a quote from the report. They said doctors and medical figures have been aware of asthma since ancient Greece. And what they know about not only the treatments but also the disease itself has changed dramatically alongside, get this, Pastor Butch, medical technology.
Oh.
So people don't understand that a lot of times your vaccines are part of that medical technology. So now the ancient documents in Egypt, for instance, they were describing the breathless symptoms of distress known as asthma. Hippocrates wrote about it. He thought there was a possible link between asthma and environmental stimulus. He noted that people who worked in different trades often had the condition, especially those working in heavy metals, metallurgy and stuff. Now, the physician about 100 A.D., this was a Greek physician, Areitas Cappadocia. He wrote the definition of asthma, and asthma definition is still used today. And he said that, you know, drinking certain fluids and stuff can help. And the Romans also wrote about asthma. So, and then here's Sir William Osler, 1892. He was the co-founder of John Hopkins Medical School. He said asthma ran in families and it usually started in childhood. And then he talked about a lot of triggers, climate change, stress, trauma, diet can also contribute to the condition. Well, let's talk about some of these triggers real quick. Those that have asthma know what they are, but usually smells like perfume, fireplace smoke, tobacco smoke, kerosene heater, carbon emissions. These are all problems because the particulates get into the air and can cause an attack. So children without asthma who live with parents that tend to smoke have a 50% increased risk of developing respiratory dysfunction, things like bronchitis, pneumonia, infections, ear infections, upper head stuff. So tobacco smoke is really not good, especially be around young children. Now, there are some food triggers. Asthmatics should really be aware of common foods that have proteins in them that will trigger fish, shellfish, nuts, chocolate. Coca-Cola is a big culprit. Also dairy products. So people don't understand, there's the study, Pastor Butch, in the Netherlands. They found that some foods can have a late onset or a delayed trigger to bring an asthma attack on, anywhere from 48 to 56 hours, and Coca-Cola is in that that age. So you can have a Coke and a couple of days later get an asthma attack. So yeah, it's interesting. MSG is also on the list, you know, that preservative they put in food. That'll bring on asthma attacks 93% of the time. Processed milk products also increase the risk, whereas organic unprocessed milk that the Amish consume doesn't offer an asthma risk, which I thought was interesting.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. You know, I'm blessed. I get fresh milk and homemade butter here locally from a neighbor and fresh eggs all the time. So the fresh milk is absolutely much better for you. It's even better for your heart. But you go ahead.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, they do that flash pasteurization for cow's milk, and it's just hot enough for just a short amount of time to kill all the healthy stuff, but not the bad stuff. Actually, if you get strep throat, that's from drinking cow's milk. Pasteurized cow's milk.
Really?
Yeah. Watch
Interesting.
That.
Interesting.
Well, here science is saying now that asthma is now an immune system response problem. They also think that the spike in asthma deaths since the 60s is due to maybe drug therapies for the condition. Here's a quote from the Medical News Today. It is an epidemic of mortality from asthma. We've taken into account the standards of treatment and previous research to see how asthma has been reshaped. I thought that was an interesting way to put it. So in the 1980s, medicine focused on the inflammation response in that condition in patients. They used a lot of those steroid inhalers, for instance, to stop an attack. So it was a temporary control of the symptom. But today, science is discovering there has been a change in the immune system itself. The lung tissue that accommodates T cells, it has changed, and it's causing a lot of inflammation. So maybe they may be on the right track here, but medical science is not going to be able to tolerate any reason for the change coming from vaccination and steroid treatments. They would not accept that part. Okay. And according to their report, asthma remains a complex and untreatable condition. Well, they're tinkering with the immune system is what we're seeing here, Pastor Butch. Yeah. Science has been researching the human immune system to find ways to heavily influence it. Now, currently in the United States, 1 in 10 children suffer from asthma. One ingredient often included in your childhood vaccines is yeast. These are yeast proteins, and it is known to cause breathing problems. So the vaccines containing this yeast, 1 to 5 milligrams, are your influenza B type vaccines, your hepatitis B vaccines, your Pediatrix vaccine. It's a hepatitis B and a DPT with your diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio. It's a combo vaccine. Also, the adult vaccine for hepatitis A and B called Twinrix, and also your papillomavirus vaccine all have this yeast protein in it. Now, here is a quote from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. They say, the antigen used in the yeast recombatant vaccines, like your hepatitis B, is derived from a culture of common baker's yeast, and quantities of the yeast protein exist within the vaccine serum. The vaccines are prepared in yeast and can induce allergic reactions to a yeast protein. Such vaccines are a product with that have an anti-yeast IgG antibody immune cell. So what it's doing is it making your body allergic to yeast proteins. That's what they're inducing, an allergic reaction.
You know, and this is not by accident. None of this is by accident.
No. Here's a quote. This is from Hetty White, a pharmacist and researcher. She's linked HIV vaccinations to asthma since 1992. She says, a nasal HIV vaccine has been shown to stimulate TH1, TH2 cell activity in mice. And if the TH2 side of the immune system is overstimulated, this can increase the risk of allergies and asthma. So that's what they're doing. This is what these antigens they're putting in vaccines, supposedly to stimulate a better antibody response. Well, what it's doing, it's creating that antibody response, but in a bad way.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So and of course, we know what the COVID vaccines are doing. They're doing the same thing. They're changing all kinds of things, including DNA. So this is not an accident. This is happening on purpose. Folks, pay attention to this because she's giving you information tonight that we've been conned into for decades. Go ahead.
Well, here is a law firm called Lauren DeMaselli and Associates. They actually did a study using the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System database, and what they found that many children react adversely to vaccines that contain yeast. So they said the problem they found was that the hepatitis B vaccine, which is often given to infants, and a lot of times you get that the day they're born, as soon as they pop out of mom, they give them that thing. And so they give it to infants. And at the same time, they may get the HIV or influenza B vaccine. They all contain yeast. So they're getting a super shot of this yeast. So this law firm concluded, they discovered that there's twofold magnitude in allergy and asthma that's generated from those vaccines themselves. Now, Dr. David Phillips, he did a study on the DPT shots and the tetanus vaccinations. He said they all cause asthma. He says it appeared in PubMed 2000 issue, and he revealed that the vaccines not containing yeast can also cause allergies and asthma. He says this, a child who has had a DPT vaccination is 50% more likely to experience severe allergic reactions, and over 80% are very susceptible to sinusitis. They are also twice as likely to suffer from asthma.
Wow.
Goes on to say the odds of having a history of asthma was twice as great among vaccinated subjects than among unvaccinated. Yep.
My goodness.
So this is all induced. This is vaccines are really considered a drug, so this is a drug-induced condition. I mean, yeah, the ancient world had asthma, but it was a different kind of asthma. Okay. Usually people were, you know, really sensitive to environmental things, maybe temperature changes or foods, maybe sensitive to foods. Now they're making you sensitive to certain things. and exacerbating the condition and changing it at the same time.
Gee whiz. So, Wendy, this has been powerful. What you said basically is we have been conned into further decay of our health over the last bunch of decades with so-called vaccines have been poisoning our systems. And I'm sure that's why autism is up, cancer is up, even heart disease, I think, is up because of all these. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I got from my takeaway conversation with Dr. Anthony Norris, who was the he was the chief virologist of the FDA back in the 70s. He said that vaccines are not what people think. He says it creates a steady line of patients for the drug companies in modern medicine. So they know they're promoting these types of things, and they know genetically, however your genes are set up, that's what you'll have. Now, this was also a 1997 report. This is from Dr. Lawrence Haberman. It did get published in the Pulse magazine. He was studying whooping cough, and he said the whooping cough vaccine increases the likelihood of hay fever, eczema, and asthma by 50%. Oh. Also, Dr. Gillian Hopkin of Churchill Hospital in Oxford, he stated his research showed that the pertussis, that's your DPT vaccine, and your antibiotic use within 2 years of a child's life will increase the risk of severe allergies like asthma, hay fever, and eczema. So he's saying, what kid isn't on an antibiotic within the first 2 years of life?
Sure.
And so here's a quote. In the 19th century, hay fever, allergic rhinitis, asthma were rare compared to today. The rise in allergies over the past 30 years has been threefold, and the rise in allergies is not seen in underdeveloped countries because they're not vaccinating their kids like we are.
You know, this, what you're saying is playing out simple, and the big pharma, has actually for years been poisoning us, not only through the vaccines, but through a lot of other things we consider common, like something that would kill viruses in our body we take every day, like say for infections. Those things actually cause more problems than they help sometimes, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and so here go the shingles vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine. Guess what you're going to get?
What?
You're going to get the same thing you're trying to prevent.
And boy, they push that one big time.
Mm-hmm.
If you had smallpox, you're going to get the shingles, so you got to get a vaccine. Oh, my.
Yeah.
My.
So, I mean, I know we're out of time. Give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. Get a free catalog. Get empowered, 866-229-3663, or visit us at thepowerherbs.com. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Powerful.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul again. We are back with Financial Survival, and Melody Cederstrom has decided to join us today. Bless her heart. I needed her today because all the computers in our office went down. I don't know what happened. I got to come tomorrow to hopefully check them out and figure what's going on. So I really couldn't find a whole lot of news I wanted to find today because I couldn't print anything off. I couldn't copy anything. It's just one of those deals. So I asked Melody to come and join us today, and I really hate to bother because she deserves time off. Believe me, she does. But she said she would, and she wouldn't fire me yet. Melody, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you for welcoming me to my program.
Your own program. Oh, gracious, this has been a day. I just tell them a little bit, I'm going to sell everything I got. I'm going to move to the Florida Keys and get me one of those yachts and live on it. You want to go with me?
Sure, you do, as long as I can bring my little Ruby with me.
Well, it's been one of those days. I mean, really, one of those days. And this is, the people need to know all this, but I mean, I was trying to order something today for the office, and her credit card got hacked. So these are things that are happening. It's just, what can you do? It's modern day events, I guess you could say. Like it or not, that's just the way it is. So I welcome the program. I went through the medals, went through all that, and I'll let you take off anything you may want to say.
Okay, well, this doesn't have anything to do with the, it's just another one of these, are you kidding me? And how is that going to happen? And what's it really going to do? The National Academy of Sciences released a major report chronicling 6 techniques to turn the oceans into carbon dioxide vacuums. We're a step closer to geoengineering the oceans. The U.S. government has moved one step closer to turning science fiction into reality. The federally funded National Academy of Sciences released a new report that laid out 6 avenues to alter the oceans in an attempt to suck more carbon dioxide out of the sky and store it, too, for centuries to come.
What?
It's like, what?
What? What are you going to do to the oceans? I mean, what? Oh, my gosh.
The ideas explored in the 300-page peer-reviewed report, 300 pages for this really isn't that big. You know, they said it's a major report. It's 300 pages. The report included using electrical currents on seawater and dumping iron in the ocean to encourage massive plankton blooms. All 6 are far from ready for prime time, but the report is essentially a roadmap for a research program and legal framework for the techniques. The blanket term for these methods and others that use land and machinery alike is carbon dioxide removal, also known as a form of geoengineering. And the companies that are doing it charge much more than the target outline in the report. The NAS has previously laid out a roadmap for land-based techniques, but the new report looks at the world's largest carbon sink. It comes at a time when the urgency of climate change is growing, yet world leaders have largely failed to take the necessary steps to end fossil fuel use. I mean, are you kidding me?
You know, nature has taken care of itself for quite a while. Why does man always want to mess up everything? I mean, from the simplest things, like bringing in an animal that's not native to a certain area that attacks all the other natural animals and destroys the environment. We bring those in, and they won't think of the consequences, like boa constrictors in Florida are causing problems with some of the animals down there. So these things, why do we keep messing with these things? I think the Creator made it to work just fine. So now we're going to make the oceans a carbon trap, and that, of course, that won't affect anything. A vacuum. So that won't affect anything in the ocean, I'm sure. You know, the fish and all that. Now it won't affect anything. It'll be fine. Man is working to destroy his own environment every day.
Yep.
My goodness, Melody.
That's terrible. That's so what when, I mean. It's like, are you kidding?
Yeah, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
And think of the money that is being spent on this. And, you know, what they want to do is to keep global warming below the 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold outlined in international agreements. And this is, but the U.S. gets to do all the pre-work. The most commonly studied form of ocean geoengineering is the iron fertilization. Other techniques also likely sound familiar, including seaweed cultivation and ecosystem restoration. How about getting these fishermen, these commercial fishermen, to stop destroying the oceans with plastic in their nets that are killing the dolphins and are killing the whales? They're just become a byproduct of these commercial fishing, thrown back in, just destroyed, just killing life. And I mean, it's just one of these other things that they're trying to look at. Among them are inducing artificial upwelling and downwelling so that the ocean water on the surface takes up more carbon, then siphons it down to the deep sea. Another approach is putting lime or alkaline agents in the ocean. That would reduce ocean acidification itself, the result of a reaction when seawater comes into contact with carbon dioxide. I mean, these are seriously thought out ways, all based on climate change. And if people believe that there is a climate change, why don't they get to the real reason and not this made up carbon dioxide stuff that thinks that's changing the world, you know?
Well, you have to give those people credit for one thing. They keep hammering and hammering and hammering, just like the COVID nonsense, hammering away. They don't quit.
No.
They haven't quit. And no matter what's been done to slow them down or stop them, they just take a deep breath and come on again. This is ridiculous. It really is. I don't want to say this is another environmental attack for the sake of saving the environment and destroying the world. That's just the way it is. It is. Interesting story, Melody.
Yeah. I'm sure most of our listeners watch Fox News. I watch it as much as I can. As much as I can.
Stand.
Yeah. But they did put up a beautiful Christmas tree. There's a large Christmas tree outside their headquarters. And somebody put it on fire.
Mm-hmm. They caught the guy that did it, but yeah.
Pardon?
They say they caught the guy that did it, I think.
They did. It was a 50-foot tree on 6th Avenue. Just went up in flames just before 12:15 a.m. And I guess it totally destroyed. The police say the 49-year-old suspect climbed up the metal superstructure. The tree is an artificial sculpture that is shaped to look like a tree. Lit papers he brought with him on fire and shoved the papers into the tree structure. Then he climbed down and watched from the street level as it burned. It's like, who does this stuff?
Insanity.
Maybe we're just going to... Why don't we just talk about wacky news today?
Oh, we could talk about a lot of that. I mean, we really could. I don't know. The insanity is spreading because Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord God said, "I'll smite you with madness." It's spreading. Yeah. Immorality is spreading because the morals that we used to value are no longer even taught in the home or public schools in general. So it's just that's just the way it is. It is. But I don't want you know. There's some things I like to learn about history. I like history. I'm sure you do too. I like history. I was doing some research last night, just looking at some things about World War II, which my dad served in. He was wounded, and he's also a prisoner of war during World War II. And this kind of maybe off topic in some way, but they had a pig that to use to raise money for the war effort, a pig. You can, folks, look it up online, you can find it. They auction a pig off a piece at a time, you know, like for a pork chop or a ham, whatever, and people bid thousands of dollars for the pig, but nobody ever took the pig. The pig kept on going on, so they kept on using the pig to auction off, make more money. They raised, now this melody, but 1945, they raised $19 million in 1945 dollars by auctioning off pieces of pig that no one ever took and then finally die of old age at weighing 700 pounds. Now, and that's great, $19 million, but the point I want to make was, do you know what that $19 million is worth today, in today's currency?
Well, I know you're going to tell us.
I am. $250 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's over 12 times what it was worth in 1945. So 75 years later, thereabouts, 80 years later, we have a currency that is devalued 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Melody, that's huge. We don't catch it because we don't live to see all this at one time. From 19 million to 250 million in a matter of 80 years, that's a lot of currency devaluation, is it not?
It is.
And that, we don't think about these things because you could get a silver dime back then in 1945. It was a dime. A dime is a dime is a dime. Today it takes $2 to get a silver dime or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. It is. It does.
So, folks, please weigh this out in your head. To get something of equal value, it cost you $2 to what it did in 1945. How have we gained? We prospered more because we went in debt more. The nation went in debt. The people went in debt. We learned to prosper on credit. And it's going to come to an end. It will for the government, just like it does for individuals. It eventually catches up to you. Ask Bernie Madoff. I mean, ask him about it. If you ever get to see him someday, what happens? You do this, it's called fraud. It's called a pyramid scheme. And eventually it'll catch up to you. Well, if you want to add anything, go ahead. I just want to share that.
Well, what I want to add, we do have a caller. We have Craig from Michigan. He's in Michigan.
Hey, Craig.
Hello, Craig.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not overmodulating, am I?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I got to think, Butch, you're kind of wrong. It's not what men are doing to screw up the planet. These people are demonically possessed.
Well, I agree.
They're trying to destroy, or there's a higher, there's a non-human entity there that has captured these people because the science doesn't agree with any of this. I mean, CO2 is what plants breathe.
That's right.
And there's something that is trying to destroy God's creation.
Of course, we know it's demonic, but unfortunately, the demons use people to do it, just like the Holy Spirit uses Christians to serve our God. These people are possessed, and they're doing the will of their father.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's not the your basic, you know, walking down the street tree hugger. It's the people that are at the very highest level. They're Satanists.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones and Masons, and they're all members of all these secret societies. Lord only knows what they do in private. I mean, pedophilia, child sacrifices. I mean, this is just, it's evil at its utmost. It's woe to the inhabitants of the earth when Satan falls, because he knows his time is short.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's why we've seen these things beat up.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a snowball rolling down the hill. And the more weight it gathers, the faster it goes.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, you folks have a good day.
All right, thanks for calling.
All righty. Thank you. Appreciate
Craig.
The call.
Good call, sweet fella. And if you like, I'll move on to some other news here, but I think it's kind of important. and I hope I'm not repeating something I already said on the program. I didn't get to hear yesterday's broadcast. But you probably know this. Nevada becomes the first state to impose a surcharge on unvaccinated workers. You probably saw that maybe by now. I don't know. But Nevada, on Thursday, became the first U.S. state to impose a surcharge on workers who have not gotten the COVID-19 vaccine, though the penalty doesn't take effect until the middle of next year. All but two members of the state Public Employment Benefits Board voted during a meeting to approve a surcharge of $55 a month on unvaccinated workers. The approved proposal also stipulates a surcharge of $175 a month for workers' spouses, partners, and dependents 18 and older. That could be adjusted down the road, they said. The surcharge will go into effect July 1st. They'll help offset the cost of COVID testing, Laura Rich, executive officer of the board, said. So, Melanie, there you go. They're going to penalize, tax, or fine people that don't become vaccinated. And, again, it's kind of a situation where what do you do? How do you do it? In New York, they're actually closing hospitals. I was reading some today. They're closing hospitals because of lack of personnel to fund them. They're closing down clinics in a 50,000 population town in New York. They closed down the hospital and the clinic. People are upset. Had a policeman on the program Tuesday night. Monday night, who started a company called InvestUSA.org. They get vests for policemen that can't afford them, or the people that work for the cities can't afford them, so they try to supply them with vests. He was sharing with us that they're running out of first responders for law enforcement and ambulance services. Talked to a gentleman right here in our local area, Nicholas County, West Virginia. They can't find drivers for the ambulances. They're having to call people in, train them just to drive and put them in the vehicle. So they're running out of drivers that are qualified to do medical work on people that are sick. So we're seeing shortages pile up here, and it's going to make a big difference, Melody, for people that need services and can't get it. I'm sure you agree with that.
Oh, I do.
Mm-hmm. So now they're going to find people that won't take the vaccination, although now people are dying at a faster rate that have taken the vaccine than those who haven't. That's also a fact. So this.
Well, I think there was reports coming from I can't recall which airline, but one of the airline was going to charge $200 to make up for the healthcare increased and premiums and so forth. And we're heading into a break, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. The Washington Post, 4.2 million Americans quit their jobs in October as workers continue to search for better opportunities. The elevated number of resignations is part of the economic disruption that continues almost 2 years after the pandemic has begun. So this was a report that was released today by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the number of people who left jobs for other opportunities in October make up 2.8% of the workforce. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics said in its monthly job openings and labor turnover survey. In contrast, a survey found 11 million job openings, only slightly less than the record from July. So, now let's, there was 4.2 million in October, and 4.4 million Americans quit their jobs in September, and that was a record. And, wow. So it's, you know, it's, where are they going to get better jobs?
I don't know. Good question.
I mean, are these the ones that are going from, you know, the $7 an hour to the $15 an hour?
Cause maybe one to quit because of the vaccine also, too. You never know. A lot of them.
Yeah.
You never know. I was talking to a gentleman today who does radiology in a local hospital. He said he gets emails and phone calls all the time from out-of-staters wanting to pay him $4,000 to $5,000 a week to come work in our hospitals. Now, that's true. That's what he told me. So, yeah, that people are getting desperate, folks. Now, if you're losing personnel, especially in something as well, all jobs are important, but especially in healthcare in that type of group, you know, they're begging for help. They need help. But 4.2 million quit this in November to find better jobs.
4.2 million Americans quit their jobs in October.
On top of the ones in September. Wow.
Yeah. And
wow.
Industries with the highest level of employees leaving are those that have been affected most by the pressures of the pandemic, including accommodation and food services, with 6% of workers quitting in October. Retail, 4.4% of workers quit. In arts, entertainment, and recreation, another 3.8%. Some 803,000 people quit their jobs in accommodation and food services during the month, according to the survey. So, yeah, people are not, and you know what's, I don't know, they're just leaving to, I hope they're really finding better jobs. I really do.
I just, yet to wonder why they're leaving. I mean, sure their pay went up because everybody else has.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder why they're quitting. It's hard to say. You know, back to the topic of government imposing fines on people that won't take the vax.
Are we still on?
Yeah, because I think it's important. The U.S. government is effectively fining hospitals if they use ivermectin or anything not approved. Now, this is dictatorship for health care. Finally, a detailed explanation of how bureaucrats are effectively deciding doctor-patient decisions in hospitals throughout the U.S., something that explains why hospitals are bafflingly working so hard to stop doctors using alternative protocols. Money. There's a system payments to hospitals that effectively punish them for using ivermectin or any other treatment outside the one permitted protocol. The amount of money involved is not disclosed, but attorney Thomas Rentz and CMS whistleblowers have calculated the total payment of at least $100,000 per patient. Mm-hmm. Hospitals must pay back these bonus payments if they use drugs outside the one approved protocol. Does it apply to vitamins too? I don't know. If the payments really are of this size, hospital management would be very effectively controlled. And there will be little competition, no free market, and only an illusion of choice. So $100,000 per patient, according to Thomas Rentz, and I know who he is. He's a very powerful lawyer out of Hawaii. So this motivates people, maybe the hospitals, to follow the protocol they want. So that's a lot of money, Melody, they could lose. I mean, that's a huge amount, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
So where do you go for care? And New York City has announced a first-in-the-nation vaccine mandate for private companies. New York City is going to tell private companies they have to vaccinate. When did anyone give the civil authorities the power over private authorities, private companies? Well, of course, this started a long time ago with licensing for businesses. If you have to get a license to make a living, they pull your license, you can no longer legally make a living. So this all started long before this happened. So now de Blasio announced what he called the first-in-nation vaccine mandate for private companies. And folks, this is happening, takes effect on December 27th. So, Melody, what's that going to mean to people that don't want the jab? I mean, we're going to quit. Could that cripple more industries, more small businesses?
Well, I mean, it's just not, I saw one woman interviewed and, she's had so many fines and everything. And it's like, they shouldn't be the police. They shouldn't. I mean, people, this is not going to end well. We have a caller. We have Dave in Massachusetts calling us. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dave.
How are you? And like you were talking about licenses, the first thing I always tell people is, hey, remember, whoever says permission granted also says permission denied.
That's right. Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
And if they, I've been, are you still on the shortwave 6.120 or 6.115?
Yeah, but WWCR is down. They will not be up on 6.115 and 3.215 for another 3 weeks or so.
Oh, so that's why I haven't heard you for the past week.
Yes. Now you can listen on the phone if you like. You listen on the phone. We listen on the internet. You have internet, but you can listen on the phone if you like.
I suppose I should try that. I keep thinking about the other point I wanted to get to is 8 decades ago today, Congress declared war against Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it almost feels like it's, just like 8 decades ago, in a sense, there already is a world at war.
And we're at war right now, actually. World War III, as far as this nation goes, yes.
Yeah.
And with what's left of a country's rights and what we would call in our country freedom. We're under World War III right now.
Yeah, because I've been noticing more and more, it's not just America, but all the world. It's
absolutely
been predicted that there would be a time when it would seem as though communism had control over all the world, and then, God would intervene in a particular way on behalf of his people. And it looks like that's what would come into now. That's what COVID is. It's a communist revolution from above.
I totally agree. It's a tanker, and Khrushchev said he would take us over without firing a shot, and they've done it.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, I'll open up the phone lines if anyone else wants to call.
Well, thank you, Dave.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
Dave, for the info. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Great call.
You know, you got some pretty smart listeners out there.
I know. Don't
you really
we?
Do.
Yes, we do. I know.
Go figure.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm on here with you, so go figure. So anyway,
well, you better clear that up.
But I was talking before you come on, David, before I brought Wendy up about how the markets all over the world fluctuate up and down a little bit, sometimes a bigger glitch. But overall, they're staying steady. Nothing seems to influence the markets. Whether it's good news or bad news, there's really not a whole lot of influence in the market anymore, as it seems. So I'm looking here at that three potential crises unfold on the world stage. And You would think this would make people think, and the Marxists especially, but the three potential crises are proceeding in tandem. A potential Russian invasion of Ukraine, continuing Chinese pressure on Taiwan, and the potential collapse of the Iran nuclear talks. All these are important. But it seems like nothing is affecting anything, really, to mount anything, Melody. We go down right on a merry way. Everybody's still, I don't know, looking at the rosy side of things, I guess. I mean, the world is on the verge of war in different places, and in the Middle East, and of course, in Russia and China, and all through there. So what does it take to make the markets react today? What do you think?
Nuclear blast. No.
Possibly.
But you know what's interesting? I mean, I think along with the media, and it does come to common sense and so forth, you see this thing going on with Russia, and it's like, well, you know, is he really going to destroy and take the sanctions? So much of it is just show. So much of it is just theater. And we don't know anymore. And I think it's more that sometimes than any dire threat. I mean, if you looked at the pictures they were showing on mainstream media with Putin and Biden saying that they talked for 2 hours, my thought was, how could Biden talk for 2 hours? And I mean, it's and I feel sorry for the man. I mean, I don't feel sorry for what he's done in the past, by all means. He's part of the biggest problem that why we are here where we are today. But I mean, I don't know. It's so nobody believes it. And that's what's going on with the market. Nobody believes it. Nobody believes that there's going to be an issue with Russia. Nobody believes there's going to be an issue with Taiwan and China. Nobody believes, because there's too much at stake. There's too much money involved. And if that happens between, you know, those types of situations, they're really not black swans. It's a black swan that's going to come out and destroy everything that is being protected. And that's what no one knows. So whether it could be some sort of, and someone told me very smart, very long ago, told me that they always thought that it would be some sort of a catastrophic event, you know, a natural disaster of a huge degree. And we certainly hear about things like that with all the increase of, earthquakes. And yeah, a lot of them are taken out of text and, you know, exaggerated and so forth. But we do know Yellowstone is a problem.
Yeah,
we've read that many places. We know that's an issue. So I don't know. They control, and one day they can no longer control because it's gone beyond the ability. I mean, I guess it's kind of like a car on a icy black ice road. You know, you control it, you control your car, but eventually it, you know, you lose control of it. And I think it's the same thing with the Federal Reserve. I mean, the Federal Reserve is between a rock and a hard place. You know, they talk about this transitory inflation. You know, we've seen big numbers. You know, all they talk about inflation is oil and automobiles. They don't want to talk about food. They don't want to talk about the things that impact each and every one of us. And they'll talk long enough and tell you that it's transitory, that it's temporary, and what they'll do is they'll continue to give you less and less and less. And it's, I don't know, Butch, I don't know what that final straw is, how long they can control it, or, you know, until they decide not to, I suppose. But well, I don't know what that black swan is.
There's a lot of time bombs, I guess you could say. They really are. And that includes the people now in the world getting kind of fed up. In Austria, as you know, a third of the population is locked down. And it's amazing. It seems like a lot of the so-called leaders there are all for that. The common folks say it's insane, but people are getting a little frustrated. That's a time bomb also. How much people tolerate. In Australia, it's starting to turn into violence. You never hear it on the news, but it's obviously out there. We're seeing people get angry, and they had no choice. This is a situation, Melody, that, you know, it's like being pushed by a group of 20 bullies, and you're all by yourself. You know, eventually you're going to push in a corner. You're going to die anyway, but you're going to have to stand and fight. So you just can't just let it idly go by. This has happened in the world, not just in America, but around the world. The economic situation is dire. People are quitting the job. For whatever reason, they're quitting jobs. They're running out of first responders and people that even fast food still begging for help. They still have signs up in fast food around here. We're sorry we're running slow, so to speak, but we're hurting for help. So this is a sign of a decaying economy worldwide and a society with it. When they actually start burning down trees in front of CNN, for what reason, who knows? What was he on? Who knows that? But that's the kind of chaotic state we're going into in this country.
Yeah.
It is. And it's really sad, not for you and I so much, but for our children and grandchildren. What are they going to face? You know, I mean, how do you explain to a five-year-old that society is changing in a lifetime where it used to be safe to go out at night and walk down the street, but today we can't do that. You have to stay locked up in the house. And especially when it's your own government, they may arrest you for going outside without permission. So it's hard to explain that to our children, but that's what we have.
Well, it is, because they're growing up in this different world.
Yes, they're
growing up in that world where they've accepted it, because they don't know the difference.
So
they don't know the difference.
No, they don't. They don't. I hear music.
I do too. And it's real. It's just not in our heads. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow. So you guys be safe out there. Until then, good night and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.